friends, Lee Brown here. And before I let you dive into this next episode, just get your notepad and pen ready because we are going to bring you information hard and fast. In fact, Rogelio Martinez and I got so excited about the topic of accessory dwelling units that we dove in without hardly any niceties at all. So if you need the warm and fuzzies, you're going to hang tight for a couple of minutes. But our goal is to bring you great information to help your communities get stronger and help all of us get through and past this housing shortage and affordability situation we have going on. So buckle up, friends. Enjoy Rogelio. He's a wealth of knowledge. I'll see you on the other side.
Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
So welcome to my podcast, and I'm very grateful that you took a little time out to come chat about not sexy things, because you and I both know that when we say things like ADU, most people immediately glaze over because they just can't visualize. And you're a specialist in the things. And so before we talk about policy around that, can you give a quick visual of what an accessory dwelling unit is in your world? Just define it.
Okay. So I'll give you the definition, and then that'll distill it to a few little words. So the definition of an ADU is an accessory building built on a single family zoned residence that has places to cook, to bathe, and to sleep. So that's like the technical definition. But what an ADU actually is a backyard home. It could either be a newly constructed backyard home, or you can take existing square footage that is non-livable in the form of attics, basements, attached garage, or detached garage, and convert those into living square footage, which means that it'll add value to a property. And that means that now you get to maximize or leverage the existing spaces that you didn't have, like garages. They could be either a storage, a place to park your car, or a place to actually have somebody live inside.
So detached only or attached too? This works in attached?
This works in, let me repeat that. Attics, basements, attached garages, detached garages.
Oh, see, I didn't realize it would apply to the existing structure. I thought they had to be separate structures. This is amazing. See, friends, this is why I do the podcast. I get to learn along with you. So, all right, this is amazing.
Put it this way, Lee. In California, a property can be improved by up to 1,700 square feet. 1,700 square feet. How? Okay. On a DADU, which stands for a detached accessory dwelling unit, that can be up to 1,200 square feet. That's a 3-2, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Plus, on the SFR, the single family residence, which I will then turn into a PDU, meaning a primary dwelling unit, you can take 500 of the existing square footage of the internal square footage and convert that into a JADU, meaning a junior accessory dwelling unit. So 500 in the form of a JADU and 1200 in the form of a DADU, that's an additional 1700 squares, which is phenomenal.
All right, so this is crazy. All right, friends, we totally jumped in. I forgot to tell you, we have Rogelio Martinez here with us from California. See, I like to roll my R's when I get the chance. Rogelio, you need to tell my audience what we just talked about, because now they're sitting here writing down notes going, holy smokes, what are we talking about? So why don't you tell them who you are and a little bit about your space in real estate, which is really specific and fascinating. And by the way, friends, I met Rogelio on Clubhouse. And if you're not over there yet, you probably should send me a message, because you get to meet really interesting people who can help your mind expand, which helps our communities get better. So tell them a little tiny bit of bio on you.
So my name is Rogelio Martinez. I'm the founder of Welcome. And we spell welcome with a double V, because in Spanish, a W is a W. So V, can you do that little hand signal again?
It's like right? Double Richard Nixon, or it's bunny ears.
So actually put those two Vs, but transect them. I'm trying to, no.
That's a hashtag.
Look. This is what I'm trying to get at.
I saw it on your Instagram account.
Yeah, see, this is what people don't know. This is Richard Nixon. This is a W. You've seen that before.
This is a tiara. That's what that is. Rogelio, you got it wrong. It's a tiara.
It's a tiara. You know what? I do have it wrong. So at Welcome, what we do is, like I said, we specialize in ADUs. But let me backtrack a little. I'm a dual licensee. So I got my real estate license in 2005. In 2008, we all know what happened. That was the Great Recession. So what I did is I made the conscious effort to leave real estate and then become a mortgage loan originator. I've been focusing more on the mortgage loan origination side. 2.5 years ago on Instagram, of all places, somebody that I really respect in the industry, I think she's the largest female independent broker in California. She posted this post that said, this would make a great ADU property. And I said, ADU, what the heck is that? So I reached out to her on Instagram. She said, accessory dwelling unit. I said, what the heck is that? She said, think of it as a backyard home. And I said, wait, what? Backyard home? When can we start adding backyard homes onto real property? And she said, oh, it's been effective since 2017. And this is 2019. And they said, whoa, wait a minute. So I'm 2 years behind something. And she says, yeah. So anyways, I spent that whole night. I got into the rabbit hole and I came back out. I went on GoDaddy and I said, welcome.com. And it was taken, obviously. So I said, well, I got to come up with some other creative way. Oh, double V. There you go. That makes up Welcome. So I got the domain. I think I spent like $2,000 or $4,000. I can't remember. I woke up my wife. I said, babe, we're retooling the business. She says, what do you mean retooling? I said, we're going to focus now on ADUs. She said, what's an ADU? I said, it's an accessory dwelling unit. She says, what the heck is that? I said, it's a backyard home. She says, backyard homes, we can do those now? I said, apparently. And I know a bunch of stuff about it now. And she says, okay, so why are you waking me up? I said, because babe, I just dropped 2 to 4 G's on a domain. And she said, you did what? And I said, I know. But believe me, I have a good feeling about this. I'm going to be ultimately the subject matter expert in California and then ultimately in the nation to entertain, educate, and empower homeowners across America to be able to do this. See, everybody wants to be a real estate investor. The reality is that they're looking in the wrong place. They should be looking in their backyard, right? Either their backyard or the attached garage or the attached attics or basements. See, there's a lot of cities across the United States that are literally like 4 stories. What do you mean by that? 4 stories? That means that they have a basement, they have a first floor, they have a second floor, and they have an attic. 4 stories. And guess what? In those economies, real estate isn't even sold in total square footage. It's sold in livable square footage. That means first floor, second floor, that's it. Not the basement, not the attic. You get free squares that you can turn into living squares. Anyways, ADUs is the entryway to a higher and better use of your own real property. So that's what we do.
Okay, so let's break this down with a couple of important pieces of information. So first of all, with an ADU, you do not need a separate parcel ID, correct?
You do not.
Can your mom live in it?
Yes, she can.
Does she have to pay you rent or does she own it separately?
She could opt to pay you rent. She can't own it separately or live for free.
So guys, pay attention to that. We are coming out of a COVID era where many people that are Rogelio's age and mine, we have aging parents. Ain't no way in heck I'm putting my parents in an assisted living or a nursing home after seeing what certain governors in certain states have done to those populations. And I'm not the only one. So many people are seeking solutions for dealing with multi-generational opportunities. Also, some of y'all that are a little older than I am, you have kids that are trying to fly the nest. You'd like to get them out of the basement. So this might be that elegant solution, because let's just lay it out there. The housing shortage is everywhere, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon. You cannot build enough subdivisions like the one you see at the opening of Weeds. Whenever we talk about subdivision, I think about the ticky-tacky boxes at the beginning of Weeds. We don't have enough land for that. And even if we did, the cost of labor, the cost of materials is not slowing down. And now we have additional situations with the pipeline. We have lumber situations that just continue to exacerbate. So you got to find elegant solutions, and accessory dwelling units are an elegant solution. So let's talk briefly about what you and I got into a conversation about on Clubhouse, which is the public policy with ADUs, because I did not know that California went statewide on approval of these. So tell a little bit of the background on how this has hit certain markets in California, because as you guys know, what happens in California tends to bleed out across the country. And for once, California is doing something good. So let's emulate the good things.
That is true. For once, we're doing something good. So what happened is in 2017, there was already a statewide ordinance already. However, they didn't want to make it. They, the politicians, didn't want to make it that prescriptive. And that's understandable, right? So the state kind of kept it where, hey, we know we'd like to do X things on a general basis across the state, but not be ultra prescriptive, so that it gives the jurisdictions, meaning the cities, some leeway to be able to tweak or customize their own building ordinance. Well, what ended up happening is from 2017 to 2019, actually, no, from 2017 to 2020, nothing happened. The reason why is because all of the cities in California said, We're not going to entertain none of that stuff.
Not in my backyard. NIMBYism, guys. This is when it happens.
That's exactly right. It was all of that. And so nothing happened. So what happened on October 9th of 2019? That's when 5 of the 6 statewide ordinances actually were signed by our governor. And what that meant is now the state has said, you know what? We gave you 3 years to get your head out of your behind, and you didn't do anything. You didn't create any more housing stock. Now our deficit is greater. It went from 3.5 million residential units that we need in California to 5 million residential units because the cities did not put any emphasis. So now the state actually is more prescriptive, and literally now the cities are actually finally getting on board. And what I mean by finally is that there is still some cities, some urban planners that actually believe that some of this is not possible, still even in California after passing the statewide ordinance. So it's just an amazing time. I'm so glad and so blessed to be living in California, to be the trailblazing state. And actually, 2 states in now, 2 of the 50 states have actually passed statewide ordinances. So if you're in Oregon, they have the most progressive statewide ordinances in the entire country, followed by 2, which is California. So California has adopted ADUs across the state, but Oregon has adopted up zoning across the state. That's another podcast, because that's really out there. But
it's good and bad. That one's more of a pros and cons list.
Right.
I think ADU is primarily pros. Wouldn't you agree?
Primarily pros. However, I like talking to people that oppose. And the reason why is because, you know, so 1, you can't please everybody. But 2, I like hearing from the opposition, the NIMBY. And the reason why is because as long as they have valid points, they definitely need to be heard. So speaking of the NIMBY, there's 2 things that are going to sunset after 5 years on December 31st of 2020. Owner occupancy requirement is going to sunset, meaning it will end or be allowed to move forward. And then 2nd is the 5-year amnesty for unpermitted, unconforming dwellings. So yes, in California, we have embraced ADUs so much that if you've got an illegally converted garage, as long as the health and safety codes are met, then you can still continue to operate that, continue to collect your rent. And you can do that up till December 31st of 2024. Those are the 2 things that are going to sunset. And why those are there is that's how we were able to accommodate the NIMBY, you know, the opposition, is we wanted to make sure that these statewide ordinances were written so that it mutually benefits the YIMBYs, the yes in my backyard, and the NIMBYs, the no in my backyard.
So what happens if you have a house and you add an accessory dwelling unit in the yard and you want to rent it to a complete and utter stranger? Is that allowed?
That's totally allowed.
And at the end of the sunset period, will that still be allowed?
That I don't know.
So friends, when we have an I don't know, this is where if you're in real estate, or if you own real estate, or if you want to own real estate, This is why you have to know your local elected officials, because bless them, their desks are full and they often don't have much bandwidth or interest in housing issues, except for what looks good in the news. And the only thing these guys like to talk about in the news would be, oh my goodness, we have a homeless crisis. Oh my goodness, we have an affordability crisis. Oh my goodness, we have a shortage. But you rarely see a lot of solutions because, frankly, you can't campaign on things you have solved. You only campaign on things that are problems. But realtors and property owners and investors, you can campaign year round, which means you have to know who your elected officials are. And you have to know about things like accessory dwelling units, because this is a really great solution to our shortage of housing. And this is far more affordable. It's a smaller footprint of foundation, a smaller footprint of a rooftop, so you can keep the cost under control. And that means when you're looking at a sunset provision, if you start now in 2021 to say, hey, don't take this away because the cost of living is rising, inflation is coming, and I know it hasn't hit yet massively, but you've seen it in the grocery store, guys. You cannot deny that printing money nonstop drives the currency into different places. So when you have those things going on, a lot of our property owners will start to depend on that rental income to keep the wheels on the bus, particularly in places when they may be out of work or if we have ongoing issues with the pandemic. So this is why you got to pay attention to this. Now, if you don't live in California and Oregon, you're thinking, well, Lee Brown, what's this got to do with me? Your state and your city may be talking about this already, friends, and it's not at the forefront because the average taxpayer, the average voter, no interest in this unless it shows up next door and then they pitch a fit, or unless they need it and then they go fight for it. Now, where I am in North Carolina, I'm in Cabarrus County, which is just outside of Mecklenburg County where Charlotte is. The city of Kannapolis has ADUs on the agenda in an upcoming meeting. Right now, one of my jobs as an advocate for housing is to find out what the opposition is. It's exactly what Rogelio just said. I want to know what the complaints are so we can address that, come up with solutions if we need to have a discussion about a change in the code so that we can move this forward. Because guys, this is an elegant solution. I want you to look at your house, how it sits on the lot. Could you put a tiny house in the backyard? Probably. Do you have a shed? If you have a shed, could that space be turned into a small house? There's so many different ways to look at this outside of giving up your garage, because I know that's like the man cave. But what else can we do? We have to think differently. This is an ongoing situation, and our demographics are only going to continue to expand, because why? This is the greatest country on earth, as long as we keep it from getting totally screwed up. So let me ask you a question. There's a hot new situation where people are using storage cubes, like from a tractor trailer, as housing. Would that count as an accessory dwelling unit if they have the heating and air and electrical and all the doors cut in and the stuff?
You know what? Actually, it would. So as long as it's on a permanent foundation and it's been hooked up to the utilities, right? So meaning we can talk about plug and play container, shipping container homes, but
that was the word. Thank you.
So let me demystify something. In California, the minimum square footage that an ADU can be is 220 square feet. 220. That's the size. That's a little bit above. That's 20 square feet bigger than a one car garage.
Right.
We have built ADUs that are slightly larger than a one car garage. Obviously, that's very open. You have a kitchen. You have a bathroom. The bathroom does have a door for privacy. There's a small walk-in closet, and then you've got your TV, and then you've got like a Murphy bed, and it works really, really well. So in California, it could be as small as 220 square feet all the way to 1,200 square feet. So back to the shipping containers, absolutely. So bases the shipping container footprint, as long as it's on its certain in its own permanent foundation. And then the wastewater is hooked up, the electrical, the water, right? Because the gas is optional. Another thing is ADUs are very energy efficient just for the mere sake of their size. So you get so much benefits. I mean, like Lee said, there's more benefits, there's more pros than there is cons, you know? And so
as long as you're not Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation who went outside and he wasn't hooked up to the wastewater. Remember, if somebody asks you why they connect a city sewer, you don't want to be Cousin Eddie. That's the fastest way to explain it because we all have that in common. But think about it too this way. When your main expenses are connected to utilities, that's long-term viability of the property. So we're not talking about you pulling in something on a flatbed, dropping it off, and then coming back and hauling it back out. Of course, I live in North Carolina. I still sell trailer houses or manufactured housing. They're in a lot of states. But you'll notice that when it comes to financing, they've got to be on a permanent foundation and they have to be off of their axles. So I'm curious about how financing works on these, Rogelio. Do you have any insights on how a homeowner pays for this? Can they put it in a primary mortgage? Do you have to do a home equity line, or what are your insights?
That's a great question. I actually offer 10 traditional financing instruments. So in the last 2.5 years, our company has helped 163 families. And we do that with cash out refinance, first and second. And yes, I did say first position home equity line of credit. That is a very, very powerful loan right there. Then we have 4 flavors of renovation loans. If you're a veteran, we have a VA renovation loan. If you're if you need a government insured loan, like an FHA loan, we have an FHA 203K.
Wait. You can use 203K for this?
Okay.
Are you serious?
So again, let me bring it back. You can use an FHA 203K to convert an attached or detached garage.
Okay, guys, I got to interject. You guys know the FHA 203K program, right? Because many realtors don't. They get too married to the same 3 loan products that most lenders just go to easily, the vanilla, conventional, FHA, VA, maybe jumbo if you're lucky. But y'all, there is an entire buffet of options out there if you have the right mortgage partner. The 203K is an elegant solution to a property that needs work, whether it's an old house that needs to be renovated or something where you want to renovate to make an accessory dwelling unit. It puts your renovation cost into your owner-occupant loan. This puts you at the best interest rates without you having to come up with a pile of cash. And if you're a realtor listening to this, for heaven's sakes, call your lender and make sure that they know about this option and they're not afraid of it, because not all lenders will offer it because it's a paperwork nightmare. We get it. But sometimes the paperwork is worth going through. As my friend Kathy likes to say, if I'm getting $20,000 and it cost me 5 hours to do it, that's $4,000 an hour. And we put things out of perspective. So get it back in line. I'm flabbergasted that you can do a 2 or 3K with this. Carry on, Rogelio, carry on. Freddie Mac too, their home product too?
Yeah. So the Fannie Mae and the Freddie Mac one. So the Fannie Mae's is called the Home Style and the Freddie Mac is called the Choice Renovation. So all 4 of those renovation loans are eligible for accessory dwelling units. Then if you're in a rural area, we can do USDA financing if you're in a rural area. If you have an existing ADU, there's the Home Ready, and that's for people that have had an existing ADU for 2 years, right? We can then use 75% of that rental income to help you qualify. Oh, and if you're 62 years or older, right, a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages have gotten a lot of bad heat. But we do reverse mortgage refinances to help our aging seniors build the accessory dwelling, especially when they have a 2-story. When we can build them a single story 2-1, and the reason why there's a 2-1 I like is so that the caregiver, the in-home caregiver, can live in the 1-bedroom and then the seniors live in the other bedroom. It's single story. It's accessible. That means if it was commercial, that would be called ADA compliant. That means that the countertops are lowered. That means that the hallways are wide. That means that you can do a 380 turn on a wheelchair in a bathroom. You know, you means you can wheelchair right into the shower. It means that your accessibility, how you access, how you live in this dwelling is easy for you to age in place. See, assisted living is on average $4,000 to $7,000 a month, depending on where you live. If you can find it. And the reality is that, you know what? We all have somebody that is in assisted living. You know what? Unfortunately, they are there to keep them drugged up so they don't have to tend to them. That's sad. You know, I've just witnessed that myself. My wife lost her grandmother to an assisted living space like that. And it was sad. I mean, we couldn't visit, number one. And number two, we couldn't even have a conversation on the phone because she was always on some kind of medication. And it just seemed like that's all they were doing is just heavily medicating them. So anyways, you want to be able to help your family out by building these awesome structures that you can actually comfortably age in place. So there's two things that I'm actually against, and I'm sorry if I'm going to offend some of your real estate listeners, but one, I'm against flipping. I don't like that. Two, I'm against any real estate agent that wants to downsize a senior, an empty nester, to actually give up that generational wealth because so they can downsize. No, I believe that. Guess what? Why don't you keep the home, build the ADU in the backyard, and upsize your quality of life and not get rid of that generational wealth so that then your heirs now truly have the, you know, a home that now you've actually brought up to a higher and better use. That means that you actually swelled their inheritance, right? Make it a win-win.
So your solution is you build the granny flat for mom and dad and their caregiver in the backyard, and then you rent out the front house until the kids inherit it later. So you
That's
can
exactly
keep, the,
right.
keep the big house, live in the small house. Now, guys, the caveat to that is we know some people have to sell because they have to unlock the equity for unexpected emergency situations. We get that. But when we're in an escalating market, a lot of folks, that primary residence is the only savings they have. And so in that escalating market, if they give up that upside, that could be what pays for them to live another year or two as our life cycles and our lifespans keep expanding. Part of your job, if you're a realtor professional watching this, is to help people look through all the options and provide all the different scenarios. Then their choice is their choice, but it's not you saying you should do this, you have to do this. And this is another one of those possibilities that you've got to look into. Just make sure that in your market, in your municipality, these are actually an option. And if they're not, now is the time to partner with your local association, talk to your government affairs director. If your government affairs director is not up to speed on ADUs, you should tell me that, because that's a government affairs director who's likely not paying attention to something that is truly a huge opportunity for all of our communities and for our neighbors, because this is a chance to take care of our neighbors in a really great way. Rogelio, if they want to reach out to you and ask more questions about this topic, how can people reach you and your organization?
So I actually, believe it or not, I enjoy having intelligent conversations over the phone. So I'm a phone guy. Now that's transcended into a Zoom guy. So definitely the best way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram account. Send me a DM, meaning a direct message. My Instagram is V as in Victor, ELCOME, right? Like I said, it's We Say Welcome, but that's the best way. Reach out to me, and then I will do the best to reach out to you either by phone or by Zoom. I mean, put it this way, the gift is in giving. It's not in receiving. The reason why I've been blessed, why my 13-person team has been blessed, is because that's literally what we do. What drives our business is not how many transactions, not the volume. It's about how many families are we helping today? How many families are we helping a week, a month, a year? That's what drives us, meaning I'm tired of seeing people struggle. You know, in California, we have 200,000 homeless people. That's enough to be a city. And that is terrible, you know? Especially when they're homeless veterans, our heroes, our men and women that served our great country. Do you know right now, Brentwood, which is an area of the city of LA, it's a very affluent area. There's a VA hospital there, and we've got about a couple hundred men and women that served our great country. They're living in tents, and that's embarrassing. As an American, I'm embarrassed that I'm allowing my VA, my veterans to live in tents. The reason why I do what I do is to infuse my state with low and very low income housing stock. And the reason why is because I do not like to see people living paycheck to paycheck. I'm not the guy that takes homeless and put them back in a home. I'm the guy that prevents people from becoming homeless. And so I'm very pro senior and very pro veterans. Those are the two people. Oh, and I'll be remiss if I don't say a single parent. I was raised by a single mom. So if you're a single parent, if you're a veteran, or if you're a senior, definitely reach out to me if you're in Southern California, and I will help you.
Because remember, think about the low income tenant, the low income person who wants somewhere to live. Low income does not mean deadbeat, y'all. Low income means it could be an hourly job, a lack of education, or just desperation, because out of COVID, we've lost so many hospitality businesses. We've lost so many small businesses, and not everybody is getting fitted back in a great space. So providing a place where someone can live with dignity and pay whatever rent they can pay is how we help people get back up and running. When you have that accessory dwelling unit, because of its nature, it's less expensive, it's smaller. It's not going to be as expensive as these giant corporate apartment buildings that have granite and glass and hardwoods, and they're super fancy. Not everything has to be the Taj Mahal, but we want to make sure that we're creating opportunities for decent housing with dignity. And that's the same thing Habitat's done for years, but now you have a chance to do it in your community. So reach out to Rogelio and his team. And what states are you licensed in to do your lending and construction practices?
So actually in 47 states.
Who's holding out on you?
You know what, actually, so who's holding out on me is New Jersey,
shocking,
New York,
shocking,
and Delaware.
Shocking. Okay, so yeah, people are leaving up there anyway. Don't worry about it. They're all coming south. So we'll just help you get some stuff going in the south, and we'll take care of our Yankee brothers and sisters. All right, friends, all of Rogelio's information is in the show notes for this episode. Please reach out. Please follow him on Instagram. We'll also include his handle from Clubhouse. If you're not in Clubhouse yet, that is the latest social networking place, which is full of voice conversations. And it's an amazing place to learn, grow, and connect. So find both of us on there. And then if you need help getting ADUs to happen in your area, please connect with both of us, because we would love to be a resource, because all of us working together can be a solution for our neighbors. Thank you so much for A, connecting with me on Clubhouse, and B, saying yes by Instagram, and C, showing up on the podcast. And I look forward to further collaboration in the future.
Absolutely, Lee. It's been my pleasure to be here. Everyone that's listening to Lee's shows, she is a wealth of knowledge. I just met her, and already she's one of my favorite people. Thank you so much, Lee.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Guys, remember, you know your job now. Subscribe, 5 stars, and I'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.